Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio from our studios in Jeffersonville. And glad to have you with us as we work through this hour-long show here on Thursday. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll get underway here in just a moment with our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And I tell you what, the big news today, the Big Ten announced some details on its daily coronavirus testing and how some of those procedures will go. And the big thing, and I'll go through some of the details from their release yesterday, but the big thing that stood out to me, this sentence here, an athlete can return to competition no earlier than 21 days after a positive test. So if someone, and it's, you would think, going to happen at some point with a team or a player or maybe even multiple players, when someone tests positive, they are going to miss a big chunk of the season, even if they are back and healthy and negative, a 21-day period that they must sit out of Big Ten football. So we'll discuss that and more in our headlines today, some basketball subjects as well that we'll talk about. We'll take an early look at some 2023 national rankings that came out yesterday and tell you some of the top guys from the state of Indiana. There were a few that made the top 50 list, and you can bet Indiana is and will track both of those prospects as well. A little bit on Romeo Langford, a couple Big Ten football notes, an IU note, a Penn State note to share with you in our show today. That's what we'll accomplish here in segment one. Later in the show, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, he's always with me on Thursdays. We talk IU basketball. We have talked a lot about the schedule. We always talk about recruiting this time of year. And with Alex today, we'll kind of turn the page and start talking about expectations for this Indiana program and what we expect from Archie Miller and of Archie Miller in his next season as the head coach of this Indiana team. So we'll do that with Alex. And then later in the show, excited to have a high school football standout player with us today, Zen Michalski of Floyd Central. He has got all sorts of schools after him, including Ohio State and some of the very best college football programs in the country. He is an offensive lineman. He originally committed to the University of Louisville in April, and then he announced coming out of this past weekend that he's going to decommit and reopen his recruitment. And we've talked a lot that as a basketball guy, it just blows me away, the difference in recruiting from basketball at the college level to football. In basketball, once there's a verbal commitment, unless that player makes a decision that I don't know this is the right fit, or the coach changed, or they got another commitment from a player similar to me, or whatever the situation could be, maybe they'll back out of it. Decommitments do happen. Kids change their mind. But you normally don't see schools continue to recruit a basketball player. Maybe there could be some behind-the-scenes back-channel discussion. You never know. But it's generally very, very much frowned upon as far as the social norms, I guess you could say, in college basketball. But in football, it's very common that when a player commits to a school, even a D1 school, a good football program like the University of Louisville, if a kid can play above that or can play at another similar school, those schools often will continue the recruitment process. And that's what happened with Zen. He got some big offers even after he committed to the University of Louisville, and I'm sure that's been weighing on his mind. He wants to consider those as well. So his recruiting process is reopened. We'll talk with Zen Michalski about that a little bit later in our program today. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals at Honey Baked Ham. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And with that, a reminder, love to hear from you. If you've got questions, comments, topics you'd like to talk about, tweet me at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. And you can also email the show. I know some of you have said, hey, we don't have Twitter. Don't do Twitter. Can I email you? How can I send you my comment or my thought? Hoosierreport at gmail.com. Again, Hoosierreport at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and perhaps your question, your comment, your topic will get included in our program today. All right, first headline, and this is an important one if we're going to have Big Ten football this fall. Yesterday, the conference announced that was, and also yesterday was the day that daily testing was required to begin across the conference, but they announced their partners in the testing. The Quidel Corporation, they are going to be the company that provides the daily antigen testing, which, again, keep in mind, this is what we call kind of a spit test. Literally, it's as quick as an athlete or a coach spitting into a test tube, and within 5 to 10 minutes, you have a result back of positive or negative. And then there's a company involved in the process called Biodesix, which will oversee and manage the on-site testing. So the way I read it, there's going to be a representative or representatives from Biodesix at each Big Ten campus working with the athletic department and handling the test as they are completed. And then Biodesix will also validate the results from positive tests that come back with a test that they have as well. The Big Ten also announced in this same release yesterday that athletes from all close contact sports will undergo daily testing. So soccer, basketball, wrestling, volleyball, those are sports that are either in season or getting ready to be in season, that are doing workouts and maybe some practicing, that will be taking care of the test on site, will be having tests on site for those sports. Also, I mentioned at the very top of the show, if there is, and I should almost say when there is, because we know there likely at some school will be a case or cases, we hope very few, we hope none, but let's be realistic here. When there is a positive test, the company that verifies the test is positive, they then notify each university's chief infection officer, which then must report the case to the medical subcommittee of the Big Ten Conference's Return to Competition Task Force. And then again, an athlete can return to competition no earlier than 21 days after a positive test. So it does sound like there's good protocol, good communication system in place for when there is a positive, that it does make its way not only obviously to the university, but to this Big Ten subcommittee for return to play that we've talked about before, and that it will be monitored. All athletes who test positive also have to undergo a cardiac screening before they can return. You remember back when the season was initially postponed in the Big Ten, it was because there were some issues for some that had tested positive in off-season workouts in football that it led to some heart issues, and there was one really bad case that was kind of publicized. So that is another thing tied in with all this, and probably a really good thing. I don't think there's any question it's a really good thing. But the 21 days that someone will be out, if positive, that could rock some football programs. And again, there could be cases, you hear cases where people are severe, they need 21 days to recover, maybe longer, especially if they're an adult or a senior citizen. But you hear of other cases where until the testing happened, the student, the athlete, the young person didn't even know they were sick. They didn't even know they had coronavirus. They had no symptoms. And so can you imagine being someone with no symptoms that feels basically okay, but you still have to be out 21 days, even if you're negative, the way this release reads. So that could affect greatly the Big Ten football season this year, depending on the number of positive cases that come up. So interesting details yesterday from the Big Ten Conference. Moving on to a couple basketball headlines. This is just a prediction from Andy Katz, who does some work for the NCAA and the Big Ten Network as well. But he actually predicted what he thought the matchups would be in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. He thought the best matchup, Illinois at Duke. He had his second best matchup as Michigan State at Virginia. Third best matchup, North Carolina at Iowa. I really like that matchup. That would be a great game. And his fourth best matchup includes the Hoosiers. It's Indiana at Florida State. So we'll see if it ends up being Florida State that Indiana's paired with. But those are at least the predictions from Andy Katz, and then he put them in order. I think this kind of preview material tells you how desperate we all are for college basketball after losing the NCAA tournament a year ago. But ultimately, we should find out soon, I would think, the details, the dates for sure of the Big Ten ACC Challenge and how exactly the layout's going to be. Always a great 2-3 days of college hoops, the Big Ten, the ACC, two great conferences. They normally do a fantastic job putting good matchups together, and it really gives you a read not only on the teams but on both conferences and just exactly how many teams they might ultimately get in the NCAA tournament. That early season event really gives a showcase for a lot of what to expect in those conferences. Also, another basketball headline, 247 Sports yesterday released their first top 50 for the class of 2023. So this is guys that are sophomores getting ready for their sophomore year of high school basketball. DeJuan Wagner and Bronny James, that's LeBron's son. Those are some of the big names at the very top of the list that are national-level players. But Indiana, the state, has two guys that are featured in the first-ever top 50 for this class. And number nine is Gibbs Lawhorn from McCutcheon, which is the same school that Robert Phinisee went to. New Albany played McCutcheon in the state championship game back when Romeo and Phinisee were both sophomores for their respective teams. He's number nine in the top 50, so a top 10 player in the country is Dre Gibbs Lawhorn, and Indiana's already begun that recruiting process with him. There's no question about that. I believe they've already offered him a scholarship, and you can bet they will track him early and often as he moves through his sophomore season. The second and final player from Indiana in the top 50 right now at number 40 is Jalen Hooks of Crispus Attucks in Indianapolis. I don't know near as much about Hooks as I do Gibbs Lawhorn, but he is a prospect to watch when you're a young player in the top 50 in the country. And so nice to see Indiana represented, and I think for Indiana fans, nice to know that the recruitment of Gibbs Lawhorn at McCutcheon is well underway. Also, Danny Ainge of the Boston Celtics had an interview or opportunity to be interviewed this morning by reporters, kind of recapping the Celtics after their loss to the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals last week. And he was asked about Romeo Langford. He kind of was asked about a lot of different players, but here was a quote I saw our friend Chris Grinham of Forbes Sports, who covers the Celtics for Forbes and comes on this show to update and talk about Romeo Langford from time to time. He said on Romeo, it is, quote, "It has been kind of a snake-bitten year. He showed some really, really positive signs. We think he has a really bright future." And again, that's Danny Ainge of the Boston Celtics talking about New Albany graduate and, of course, former Indiana player Romeo Langford. Couple quick football notes to wrap up our headline segment. Yesterday, there were some players available to the media to talk to. Quarterback Michael Penix, one of those players featured for the Hoosiers. And he said yesterday, obviously, as you would expect, positive things about the team, how things are coming together in some of the preseason practices and so forth. But he said that they are ready to shock the world. They are going to shock the world. That was a quote from him. He talked about missing some of the big games last year, and I think that's a good point. Last year, you know, Penix, the Ohio State game, the Penn State game, the Michigan game, he was not the quarterback for those games for Indiana. He was sidelined for those games. And so the fact that he is starting the season off, not only as the starting quarterback, but against a team like Penn State that's top 10 in the country, at least right now, big stuff. And one other football note for Penn State, I've kind of talked the last few days with Matt Weaver yesterday especially about how the Big Ten Conference has gotten better since it was announced that football is going to be played this fall, because some of the players that had opted out for the NFL draft or opted out because of the coronavirus are making returns. And, of course, we know Rondale Moore is one of those big players coming back to the conference for Purdue that could greatly change what they are expected to accomplish this season. The reverse happened for Penn State yesterday. Coach James Franklin confirmed Wednesday that linebacker Micah Parsons, who's really a standout for the Nittany Lions, he will not be returning to the team for the 2020 season. He's a projected first-round pick in the 2021 NFL Draft. He initially opted out after his junior season in early August, but after the Big Ten's decision to revisit and ultimately play football this fall, there was thought that maybe Parsons would come back to Penn State as some of the other players in similar positions have. However, yesterday it was confirmed. I think they had some conversations with him and his family. He is not going to come back and play for Penn State. So when Indiana hosts Penn State on October 23rd, October 24th, whatever date that opening game ends up being, they will be without Micah Parsons, one of their key players and a linebacker for the team this season. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. We'll head to a quick break, and we'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, IU basketball, expectations for this year, and more coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
What exactly are the expectations for IU basketball this season? We'll talk about that with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, who joins us each Thursday on the program. But before we do that, Alex, you've had a great feature. This is something you've done for a number of years now on your InsideTheHall.com website, and that is preview the top players in the Big Ten Conference. You actually give them a ranking from 25 all the way down to one. And I don't think you're quite done yet. I think you still got to release your 1 through 5 top players in the Big Ten. But give us an overview of that feature from an IU perspective, who is where. And we've already talked about how good we think the Big Ten Conference as a whole will be. And as I go through your list, your ranking of some of the top players you've released each day, it's clear to understand why when there are a number of really good players in this league again this year.
Yeah, we've been doing this, I don't even know now, the years are going by so fast, but my good friend Dylan Burkhart, who runs UM Hoops, a terrific website that focuses on Michigan basketball, we've been doing this with him now for multiple years, this top 25 list, and it's been a lot of fun just to kind of go through all the players every year and try to come up with a preseason list. You know, the first thing I tell people is it's not an exact science by any means, because it's just the opinion of two guys, but two guys that follow the Big Ten pretty closely, cover two of the teams. And I like to think that we handle it without any bias towards those teams. This year, we just have only revealed the top, 25 through 6 at this point, and there's only been one Indiana player so far. That's Christian Lander. I believe he was at 23. Typically, I can't remember too many freshmen that we've ranked anywhere in the top 15 in recent years, and I'm Romeo Langford.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. I believe we've lost Alex. We'll see if we can reconnect with him. But talking about the top players in the Big Ten Conference, and again, he's counting down 25 through number one, and so far, as you said, Christian Lander, the only player to receive a ranking in their listing of the top players. Alex, I think you're back with us. You were talking about past IU players that made your list in previous seasons.
Yeah, and just in terms of freshmen that have been ranked, there was, I mentioned we have Lander at 23. We haven't had very many freshmen make the top 10 or 15. I know Romeo Langford was one a couple of years ago. But typically we like to take more of a wait-and-see approach on freshmen, because it's just so hard to gauge what their impact will be. I will say that in most years, we go back in the aftermath and look at the list, and we typically discover a couple guys that we missed pretty badly on. Last year was Luca Garza. I think we had him in our top 15, but towards the bottom of that top 15, and he was, you know, one of the best players, not just in the Big Ten, but in the country. And that's the thing about this list. It's hard to do. It's hard to predict. I like to think most years we get, a pretty good handle on what it's going to look like. But, you know, that's kind of the beauty of college basketball. Stars emerge. Guys kind of outperform expectations. And I wouldn't take it as a slight anyway on Indiana and their roster this year that we've only revealed one player so far in the top 25. I look at it more as the strength of the Big Ten right now as a conference from top to bottom. There's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of good players. It's pretty balanced. You look at, you know, those top 8 or 9 teams. So it's going to be interesting to see the reaction when we do reveal the top 5. Most people, I think, have a pretty good idea who the 5 players that we haven't revealed yet are. There will be, I think, a pretty easy consensus on the first 2. And I think after you get past 2, I think there's debate. So we're excited to publish the top 5 tomorrow and kind of see what the reaction is when we, you know, reveal 3, 4, and 5 in the order that we chose on those guys.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. We're talking IU basketball. Alex, I want to talk some about expectations. We've talked a lot about the Big Ten in recent weeks and how strong it could be. We've talked about individual IU players, a lot about where recruiting stands and how the incoming freshmen like Christian Lander, how they could stack up on this team. But as a team, as a program, where do you think Indiana stands under Archie Miller as he gets ready to enter his 4th season as the head coach?
Yeah, in many ways, I think this is kind of a show-me-what-you-got season for Archie Miller, because you look back at, you know, his first year, I don't really think anything went all that differently than people expected. The second year, in many ways, you can say that he was maybe hurt a little bit by the fact that he did get Romeo Langford, because it really ramped up the expectations. And when they didn't meet those expectations, I think it angered a lot of people, and people looked at it as a missed opportunity. You know, I don't necessarily blame Archie completely for that season. A lot of it was out of his control. There were injuries, obviously, that came into it. Romeo was, as you can attest to, Matt, I think after Romeo had that injury late in his senior season at New Albany, I don't know that he was ever really the same shooter that he was before that, towards the end of his career at New Albany or at Indiana. And so I think that was something that kind of heavily played into that season, maybe not going as everybody expected. And then last year kind of gets a free pass with a lot of other coaches around the country. You look at the coaching changes that happened this offseason, there weren't very many in college basketball. And a lot of that, obviously, a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and just kind of the state of college sports right now. There's not a lot of money going around to pay buyouts and things like that. So everyone stood pat. But in many ways, Archie's kind of flying under the radar in terms of what he's done so far at IU. You compare this to Tom Crean's tenure. Tom Crean's first 3 years were bad, obviously. But going into year 4, they had the excitement with Cody Zeller coming in, and there was a lot of, thoughts that they could make the tournament that year, and they really outperformed expectations, and that's what really kind of got the program going back in the right direction. With this Indiana team, you know, you're seeing some buzz for them being like a top 25 team going into the season, but they're being picked for the most part anywhere from 6th to 8th in the Big Ten. And so, it's hard to kind of put your finger on exactly where things are headed, but I do think it's a very important season. I definitely think they need to not just make the tournament, but get in there solidly and have a chance to advance. Otherwise, I think people are going to start to ask some questions and wonder kind of why, because most places you look at coaches that have been successful and had to take over, and you know, I don't think Archie was dealt the best hand from Tom Crean, but it wasn't completely a completely empty cupboard in terms of what he inherited. But by year 4, I think it's reasonable to expect at a program like Indiana that you're making the tournament and you're headed in the right direction. So I think that's really what he's got to prove this year, and we'll see what happens.
Alex, would you be shocked, surprised if Indiana did not make the NCAA tournament? I know there are so many things up in the air right now. We're still a great ways from the start of the season. But what you know about this Indiana team and the conference as a whole, would you be surprised if Indiana didn't get into the tournament this year as we sit here October 1 previewing and predicting the 2020-2021 season?
Yeah, it's hard to say because we don't have a schedule. We don't kind of know what everything is going to look like. If I had to make a prediction right now, I think they'll make it. I think they'll be in pretty easily. But that's the same thing we were saying going into year two, right? When you had Romeo and Juwan Morgan and things didn't go well. A lot of things can happen in a given season. And I think this year, more than any other year, is hard to predict because of all the unknowns. Are there going to be fans at any games? Are there going to be any quote-unquote buy or guarantee games on the schedule? I mean, right now you're looking at a 27-game schedule, and I'm thinking Indiana's probably going to play 20 Big Ten games and maybe five or six power conference teams in the non-conference and then maybe have one cupcake game. So if they're going to have a good record, they're going to have to earn it. So there's just so much to kind of play out. And we're in October now, Matt. We're less than 2 weeks away from the start of practice. We don't have any idea on the schedule. We don't have any idea on who they're going to be playing. But right now, just based on their roster, who they have, I would be pretty surprised if they didn't make it. I wouldn't say, or I would be surprised if they didn't make it. I don't know that I would say I'd be shocked, just because of, when you're picked to finish kind of in the middle of your league. I mean, it's not like this is a team coming into the season that you view in the same kind of conversation as a Wisconsin that, has everybody back from a team that won the Big Ten last year. I mean, Indiana was probably going to make the tournament last year, but it wasn't like a open and closed case for that. And so I think there's still a lot, like I said, there's a lot of questions to be answered. And I think in many ways, it's kind of a, prove yourself year for Archie Miller and the direction of the program.
Alex, we've talked a lot about incoming freshmen and about returning players and who fits what roles and what the backcourt could look like. And, of course, Trace Jackson Davis, we think, will be one of the best players in the Big Ten, maybe even college basketball across the country. But One thing we haven't talked a lot about, especially since it initially happened, was the departure of Justin Smith, who's going to transfer. Does his role, does what he brought to the team, and I know it was kind of up and down what he did bring, but is that a big loss to this Indiana team as you think to what they have for next season?
I think from a defensive perspective, it can hurt, but I think it can be more than overcome on offense based on what possibilities it could open up, because anyone that's watched Indiana the last couple of years knows that when Justin Smith was playing the three, particularly last year when he was playing the three with Trace Jackson Davis and Joey Brunk, he basically had at all times three non-shooters on the court. And that's really, in a league like the Big Ten that's as scouted as well as it is with the coaching, everybody knows everybody in that league. I mean, there's no secrets that you're going to get past somebody. And everybody knew how to guard Indiana last year. It was basically pack the paint and dare them to take outside shots. It was in many ways the same the previous year. That's why it was so hard for Romeo to get anything around the basket, because teams just backed off. And now Justin Smith leaves, and all of a sudden I think it opens up the possibility for Archie Miller to say, hey, I'm going to go with some lineups where maybe I'm playing Christian Lander and Rob Finnessy together with Al Durham at the three, or maybe I'm going to play Jerome Hunter at the three now. And we know Jerome Hunter didn't shoot it well last year, but I think we can expect him to get better. And there was at least a track record as a prep player of a guy who could step out and knock down the three-point shot. So I think that really just kind of opens up a different look potentially offensively. We still have to see it in person. We still have to see, are they going to be a better free throw shooting team? Are they going to be a better three-point shooting team? But I think getting Justin Smith out of the lineup kind of gives Archie Miller a chance to recalibrate and come up with a new lineup. Because if Justin Smith were to come back, I think the expectation is, he's a fourth-year senior. He's going to start, right? He started his whole career. Now that he's gone, it kind of gives Archie Miller a chance to look at things again at a higher level and maybe change some things. Personally, I don't know what you think about this, Matt, but I would really like to see Lander and Fennessy and Durham out there together, because I just think that gives you a better look in terms of ball handling, creating plays. You know, bigger lineups can be effective, but if you can't shoot at all, you become really easy to guard, and teams are just going to pack the paint. And we've seen Indiana struggle to shoot the last couple of years, and I think the same thing would happen this year if they tried to force big lineups out there with any regularity.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich inside the hall with us on Thursdays as we talk IU basketball. Alex, final topic. I do want to get into a little recruiting. I mentioned at the top of the show in our Zaxby's headlines today that there is a top 50 ranking out of the best players in the 2023 class. So sophomores for this current high school year and upcoming basketball season. One of those players from McCutchen, which is the school that Fennessy attended, is number 9 in the country as it stands. I know those guys are awful young, but it is an early snapshot of maybe what to expect. And the good thing is he kind of breaks onto the national scene in these rankings, Gibbs Lawhorn from McCutchen. Indiana's recruitment of him is well underway.
Yeah, it's funny that came out yesterday, because our student writer, Tyler Talkman, has been working on a pretty big story on him that's actually going to come out tomorrow. So make sure to check inside the hall tomorrow for that story. But he's interesting in that he's getting these high rankings, but he's likely going to miss. I don't know if you know this, Matt. He's likely going to miss his entire sophomore season based on a foot injury. He just recently had surgery, so there's not going to be much of, if any, season for him as a sophomore. But I think he's earned that ranking based on his performances last year as a freshman at McCutchen. I think he averaged over 20 points a game. He had some really big games this summer for Indiana Elite. And he's, from what I understand, I haven't seen him in person. I've just seen him on film. He's a combo guard. He's a guy that can really score the ball, very athletic. And I think somebody that's going to be a player to watch. So good to see him get that early recognition. You do have to remember that Rob Fennessy was a rare case coming from McCutchen. Was, I think, at over 50, more than 50 years, it was the first player from that area to come to Indiana to play basketball. So he's going to have a lot of pressure on him to, you know, stay and play for Purdue. But this is a recruitment. I feel like the big name schools, the Kentuckys, the North Carolinas, the Dukes, are all going to get involved in. So we'll see how that materializes as time goes on. But yeah, it's exciting, I think, for an Indiana fan when you have that type of talent inside the borders. And more often than not, under Archie Miller, Indiana's been able to keep the best players in the state. So we'll see if that trend continues. But a long way to go for him, and we wish him the best in terms of his recovery. I know he's, like I said, likely out for his entire sophomore season, so we'll see how that goes.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. He's kind enough to be with us Thursdays as we talk IU and Big Ten basketball. If you want to check out the rankings of the Big Ten players that he's got so far, you can visit InsideTheHall.com, and, of course, follow Alex on Twitter as well, at Inside the Hall. Alex, we're working our way into October now. We're getting closer and closer to the start, we hope, we think, of college basketball, and I can't wait.
Absolutely, Matt. Have a good rest of your day.
For sure. Alex Bozich, our guest, with us on Thursdays. We'll head to a commercial break, and when we come back, the final segment in this Thursday program is a chat with Zen Maholsky. He's a Floyd Central football standout, a senior offensive lineman. He was committed to the University of Louisville, but now he's reopened his recruitment as of Monday, and he's hearing from some big schools, including Ohio State of the Big Ten Conference. We'll talk with Zen about his recruiting and where things could go from here after this, the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. We had the opportunity to close the show today talking to an outstanding high school football player here in Southern Indiana. And this guy has seen his recruitment grow even after he initially committed to the University of Louisville. He had some big-time schools get involved and some big-time scholarship offers come his way. And just a few days ago, Zen Michalski of Floyd Central made a decision to decommit from the University of Louisville. He's opened back up his recruiting process, so we're going to talk with him some about that and also the great season that Floyd Central is putting together so far here in the high school football season. Zen, welcome to the show. Congrats on a great career, a great year for you, and you've got some big months ahead as far as football with Floyd Central and a recruiting decision to rethink.
Oh, hey, yeah, thank you so much. It's super exciting. I'm so happy and grateful that I'm in this position. But yeah, the season is going great so far. We're excited for our game tomorrow. It should be a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. Zen, I want to start with you, and then we'll work into your Floyd Central team and the hopes that you guys have for the remainder of the season. Talk about the decommitment from Louisville. I know that's always a tough subject. I know that's a school that recruited you very early. You made the commitment there, but things have really changed for you since you made that commitment as far as schools getting involved and the level of football that you might be able to play.
Yeah, you know, I just, after a little bit, I kind of, with how the recruiting process kind of played out with COVID and all that stuff, I kind of felt like, you know, after talking to family and thinking it over for a little bit, I kind of felt like I had rushed my decision a little bit and kind of didn't realize how much time I really had until I was committed for a little bit. So I kind of just wanted to decommit and make sure 100% that I had picked the best spot for me and my family. And it was definitely a tough decision, but I think in the long run, it'll definitely benefit me a lot.
Absolutely. Zen Michalski of Floyd Central is our guest today. You've had offers come in from Ohio State earlier in September. You also have received offers recently from Florida State, Penn State. There are many other schools as well that are actively recruiting you. Before we talk about some of those schools and maybe who some of your favorites are, do you ever have to kind of stop and think, wow, that was just a coach from Ohio State or from a top national level football program that's calling me, interested in me going to their school?
This is definitely surreal still. Like it's crazy. I never, ever thought I'd, you know, like you said, be on the phone with some of these people or have them even know who I am or interested in me or look at my film. And it's just, I'm super grateful and like just humbled by all of it, just because I never thought anything like this would ever happen to me. So just super happy about it. Like last year, I was just like hoping, I was like, please, can a D2 call and just like take a shot on me? And I'll get like a partial scholarship for school. But yeah, I feel like I hit the jackpot, and yeah.
This is awesome. A great story, no question about it. Zen, a senior at Floyd Central. And obviously getting some big looks. I know you're fresh off your decision to reopen your recruiting, so I don't want to press you for anything too much. But of these schools that are contacting you, of these schools that have offered scholarships, do you have any favorites right now, or are you just kind of going through the whole list? And when do you think maybe you could make a new decision on ultimately where you're going to play college football at?
Oh, I definitely do have some favorites. And I've kind of you know, with me and family, like, we've thought about it a lot. I mean, I would have no problem making decisions soon because a lot of the stuff with COVID and nothing is really going to change from here. I'm enrolling early wherever I go. So there's not the recruiting dead period for visits and stuff has been extended to January 1st. So like, it's really tough to where I can't even take an official visit or anything. So right now, I'm just really building relationships, and that's probably what I'm going to base a lot of it on right now.
Zen Michalski is my guest, a Floyd Central senior, standout football player. He's an offensive lineman, has a big frame, a big body, 6'6", 288 pounds. You had an unbelievable transformation of your body over the last, I don't know, year and a half or so. You can tell us the details, but you went from a big guy to a big and really tough and lean guy. Talk about the transformation of your body, how hard that was for you, the work you put in, and how that all kind of tied into this rise that you've had as a football player and as a prospect to play at a big-time D1 program.
It's been absolutely crazy. It's crazy because, like, freshman year I came in and I was about 5'11". So, you know, not like the biggest kid, but I was still 5'11" as a freshman is pretty decent. And I was around 200 pounds. But then that off season, I had grown to 6'4" for my sophomore year. So I was 6'4", around 185. So I was extremely skinny. I, like, 6'4", 185 pounds does not go together very well for a defensive end. So I played at that year. And then the next year is when I talked to Coach Bragg, my head coach, about, you know, he was like, do you have any hopes to play in college? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. So he told me that my best shot would be on the offensive line and I need to put on weight. So that offseason, I went from 185 to 240. So that was a huge weight jump for me that first year, but no one really saw it or knew about it. So I just, you know, kind of working in the dark there until for my junior year, I had gone from 6'4", 185 to 6'6", 240. And that's where I had played at last year. And I was still pretty small. Felt like I was getting, I felt like I had a much better time playing at that weight. I was playing the offensive line, and that was my first year playing it. So that was, you know, an experience for sure. And then this year, I had, at the end of the season, I weighed 217 for our last regional championship game against Bloomington South. So I went from 217 to 288 over the offseason, and it has helped just playing offensive line in my game so much.
Zen Mahalski, my guest, Floyd Central standout on the offensive line. Let's talk a little bit about this Highlander football team. You guys have had a nice season. I know you're not probably as thrilled as what you'd like to be with your last outing with Columbus East at home. It was a 35-7 loss, but 4 wins, 2 losses so far this year. Very winnable games the rest of the way. This Highlander team could very well end up the regular season 7-2. You guys have lots of talent, lots of seniors, lots of experienced players, and I know some big hopes on how you want to finish this regular season and what you'd like to accomplish in the postseason as well. Tell us your goals for the rest of the season, both for Zen on an individual basis and for this Floyd Central football program.
For me, just to keep doing what I've been doing and keep building and getting better every day. But as a team, our goal every day we talk about it is late November. So normal season, obviously, season, we want to get, you know, win the rest of our games and get ready. These weeks are more like, we look at them more as like we're preparing for, like, you know, Cathedral, whoever we see later in the postseason. So that's kind of just the whole team goal that everyone knows is just late November.
Zen, when you look at the losses, and again, I mentioned the Columbus East performance, but also at Cincinnati Elder, you guys have won the victories you've won handily. The losses have come against really solid football programs that play at a high level as well. I think you've got to be pretty satisfied overall with how things have went as you prepare for that goal of success in the postseason. It's a regular season schedule that, with those Elder-type opponents, with Columbus East as an opponent, that kind of stuff does help get you ready for the sectional and maybe even later into the postseason if you guys can put a run together.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's what is so nice about playing those teams. I'm definitely not, like, I'm happy, but I'm not complacent with where we're at. I definitely want to be better, and playing them has helped us tremendously, especially Cincinnati Elder, one of the best teams in Ohio. That was a super fun game, but it has helped us so much, honestly, just to get ready for these really good teams we're going to see later in the postseason.
Zen Mahalski of Floyd Central joining us here on this Thursday program. You mentioned when you ultimately make a decision on where you're going to play college football, and once the season wraps up for Floyd Central, you plan to enroll in college early. That's something that, especially during this time right now, we see more and more athletes and football players doing. When exactly do you think that you could enroll and begin college? Could it be something for the winter semester, or do you expect to get there early for the summer? What's kind of your game plan on moving on to college?
Probably get there right after this semester of high school, so in January, and be there for winter. And those first 6 months, especially for me, being a little bit like underdeveloped and like not playing off, I haven't played offensive line that much. I really, those 6 months would help me, it benefit me so much at a really high level program that would put, like, you know, 30 pounds of really good weight on me and get me up to like 310 or 315 and ready to go for my freshman year or if I redshirt or something. But it's something that is definitely trying to go as early as possible.
And what's the recruiting process been like? We know that campuses have been closed and that's been extended, as you mentioned, to January 1st and could be longer. Who knows? Coaches really can't get out and watch like they normally do as well. How different has this been? I'm sure, like some basketball guys that we talk to occasionally on this show, it's been a lot of virtual stuff, maybe through FaceTime, maybe through Zoom meetings. How has the recruiting been different, and what's it been like during this kind of odd time during the pandemic?
Well, it's funny you say that because this is the only recruiting I know, really, because I started getting recruited in February, and this is right when stuff started shutting down, and February and March is right when the stuff started getting shut down. So, this is really all the recruiting that I know. I've never seen anyone else get recruited. I've never, been in, know anybody really that's been recruited before like this. So, it's kind of, as odd as it may seem, this is all I really know. So, I'm just kind of going with it. A lot of virtual stuff, a lot of virtual visits. I wish I could go to campuses, but, it is what it is. We just got to deal with it.
Absolutely. Zen Mihalski of Floyd Central, big-time college football prospect. Zen, we look forward to following you the rest of your high school season. And I tell you what, as you watch some of these big college football games that are thankfully on TV here this fall, you can see yourself, I'm sure, in some of those contests next year. That's going to be exciting to know. We have a football player from this area moving on to do some big things. So, again, congratulations. Best of luck to you. We look forward to finding out your decision down the road a bit.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the show. And this has been awesome.
Zen Mihalski of Floyd Central Football, another prospect in the area. As we get ready to add, I think, someone to high major football. Interesting to see. Great to see the number of high school athletes from our area that go on to not only play college sports, but in some cases do it at a very high level. And Zen, I have a great feeling, is going to do it at a very high level. That wraps up things for the Thursday edition of our program. Back with you Friday, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins us, as will Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.